As David Ashley said, the message this morning is going to be heart surgery. And I want to ask you a question right out of the bat, off the bat, is if God wanted to do something in your heart today, right now, could he? Are you in that place in your walk with the Lord where you're open to the things of God and you're saying, God, I need instruction, I need direction, I need you to show me, and I'm willing to listen to your voice, I'm willing to do what you say, I'm willing to be obedient? Because there's no doubt in my mind, and maybe yours as well, that there's people in this room that's hearts are kind of like, God, I'm at the last place. I'm in a bad place right now, God. I just don't know what you're doing with me. I don't know what's happening in my life, and I'm frustrated. I'm anxious. I'm even angry at times, and I'm a Christian. I read my Bible, but there's just things that are going on, and my heart's getting hard. And the danger of a hard heart is that the Spirit of God can't penetrate that hard heart. See, the Spirit of God can penetrate a willing heart, an open heart, a heart that's ready to change. And see, I believe the heart that is not willing to change is the heart that is not willing to grow. Again, the heart that is not willing to change is a heart that is not willing to grow in the Lord. And we spent some time in prayer on Friday night with some other people in the church, and I'll tell you, it was so powerful and so amazing and so humbling to see us praying with fervor, with boldness, with confidence in our God, that at the end of our time of prayer, I just looked around the room and I said, does anybody else notice how much God has done in our lives? How much we have changed? This pastor did not like to pray out loud 20-some years ago. When my wife said to me, we should be praying together. And I'm like, I am praying. And she's like, no, we should pray for each other out loud. And I'm like, whoa, now that's scary. And how God has taken our lives and molded us and shaped us and shown us some things that we wish he didn't show us. But he's revealed some things to us and created in us a heart that is so confident in God that we don't let the circumstances in our lives affect us. We've changed, we've grown, and it's a good place to be. And you probably have too. You've grown, but I'm worried for some in this room that have grown to that place where, I can't trust any longer. I don't know if I believe any longer. See, for the Bible tells us the condition of our heart. Jesus tells us actually in Matthew chapter 12, don't have to turn there, it says, but for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So what is coming out of your heart? What is coming out of your mouth? Is there words of life, or are there words of death? Are there words of encouragement, or are there words of discouragement and defeat? The things that are in our hearts come out of our mouths, and so that's how we can tell the condition of our hearts by the things that we're saying, by the things we're communicating, by the attitudes of our lives. What's in your heart this morning? Well, there may be hurt there, there may be pain there may be discouragement there, but honestly, there should be more of the love of God in your heart that good things should come out. Yes, this is going on in my life, but God is good. Yes, this is happening to me, but God is working on it. Yes, I'm distraught, I'm discouraged, but I believe God's going to change my circumstances. For God will not stop the work that he's started in you. He will faithfully complete that work in you. And that's the hope that we have. So my prayer this morning is, God, let our hearts be ready to receive. Let all of our hearts, no matter what happened this morning, no matter the fight you got in with your spouse on the way to church, it's happened. No matter any of those types of things, the frustrations that you've experienced already today, let's put those things aside and let's say, God, work on my heart. Would you pray with me for that? Father, we do come to you with willing hearts to be changed. And so, God, we pray as we give you our hearts this morning, do a work. Do that heart surgery that needs to happen. I pray, God, for that one today who is so discouraged and so distraught that their heart is hard. I pray right now by your Spirit that you would soften that heart, that for just a moment, just for a few minutes, they would just open their hearts to you and see what you might do. So God, give us willing hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. How do you change your heart? How do you change your heart? And that is by drawing near to God. Drawing near to the Lord. James says it so wonderfully in chapter 4, verse 8. Says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. That's a promise of the Word of God. If you will draw near to God, he will draw near to you. But he goes on, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, this next part of this verse kind of looks like, well, we got to clean our hands and we've got to purify our hearts. I don't believe that is what this verse is saying. And I believe what's saying is, as you draw close to God, you will purify your heart. You will cleanse your hands. You will be in that place of humility before God, a holy, righteous God who died for you and who gave his life for you and shed his blood for you so that you could have a life of abundance. As you draw near to him, you go, oh God, my hands are dirty. Please cleanse them. Oh God, my heart is so hard. Please purify my heart. I have this against my brother. I have this against my sister. I have this against my family. God, purify my heart so that I have good intentions for those around me. So drawing near to God is what helps us clean our heart by prayer and devotion and commitment to the Lord. And he draws near to us and he cleanses us. That's a great thing. See, as we get into Hebrews chapter 3, picking up in verse 7, we're going to see the second of five different exhortations in this entire book. The first one we saw in Hebrews chapter 2 when the writer told us of the danger of drifting from the Word of God through neglect. Okay, we talked about that when we were in chapter 2, the first four verses. But in this section, we're going to see the danger of doubting the Word because of the hardness of our hearts. The hardness of our hearts. We will look at two heart conditions this morning in the Word of God. One negative, one positive. Let's look at this in chapter 3, verse 7. Read with me. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Verse 16, for who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Oh, this heart surgery that we're going to look at, number one, the first thing, the negative that we're going to look at, is the hardened heart angers God. The hardened heart angers God. We see it very clearly in these verses. We see in verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear my voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The writer of the book of Hebrews is writing to Hebrew believers, right? That's what we got to keep reminding ourselves. He's writing to Hebrew believers, and he's writing to them about what happened to their forefathers, what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt, what happened in their hearts. And he's saying, listen, today, if you will hear God's voice, and don't harden your heart, be careful not to harden your heart. This is a warning for us to not harden our hearts. We see the word therefore there, and if we looked at verse 6, we'd see that the writer wrote in that section, but Christ as the Son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm to the end. So if we have that, if we are the house of God, if we are the children of God that are holding on to Christ, that are holding on to that assurance of Jesus Christ, therefore, listen to God. Today, have your ear attentive to the voice of the Lord. listening to him, listening to his word, obeying him so that our hearts won't be hard. How do our hearts get hard? By ignoring God. That's how our hearts get hard. We start listening to the world. We start listening to the things of the enemy. We start listening to anything but God. Our hearts are going to get hard. There's a lot of things to be frustrated at in this world. There's a lot of things to look at and go, that's not right. Yes, that's true. But if we will listen to God, those things in the world will fade away. Those things around us will be minimized because we're trusting in the living God, the great God. The writer of Hebrews is quoting Psalm chapter 95, and he's making his point of the seriousness of not trusting in the Lord. And that does not change today. He's writing to Hebrew Christians for sure. He's writing to believers, but that doesn't change for us today. That the importance for us to trust in God. You know when the hardest time it is to trust in the Lord? When things aren't going your way. When God isn't doing it the way you want him to do. When God isn't doing it in the time that you want him to do it. That's when you begin to lose trust. That's when you begin to lose faith and go, what's happening? God says, no, trust me. Trust me. I constantly have to remind myself that Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. Never leave me nor forsake me. He's always with me. He's always working. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't take a break. God's ear is always attentive to my cry. So when I don't have to shout at the top of my lungs to make sure God hears me. I just have to believe that when I pray in according to his will that he does hear me. Because he is listening. And when he doesn't answer the way I wanted the answer, then I know he's teaching me something. And he teaches us to trust him, guys. To hear his voice, to know his voice. I believe in those times when we don't hear the heart of God or when we feel like heaven has gone silent, those are the times that God's going, I've given you enough to believe in me. I've given you enough. What more do you need? We need to believe without seeing, right? Blessed are those who believe without seeing. Do we believe? Do you believe today? When you hear his voice, don't we really only have two options? We really only have two options. When God speaks to your heart or when the word speaks to you or in prayer, you feel something that the Spirit is showing you, we have two options. We can either obey or disobey. We can either agree to what God is doing or we can run from it. We can either follow him or run from him. We know this verse. Some of you probably have it hanging on the wall of your home. Joshua 24 and verse 15 says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in which land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the choice. When you hear his voice, you have the choice. Am I going to choose to obey or am I going to choose to disobey? Am I going to choose to do what God tells me or not? That is the choice. And honestly, that choice needs to be made almost moment by moment. Lord, I'm going to choose, as far as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that is not something that you do with a heavy fist, is it? No, as you take a stand for your family, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And there may be people in your house that don't believe. There may be people in your house that think you're crazy for coming here to church on Sunday and Wednesdays. I mean, come on, you're kind of getting crazy now. Twice a week? Well, we hear this all the time. Their spouses' hearts are hard. And you're going to church again? I want you to stay here with me. It's like, no, as for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. And have that heart of service for God. That's just so beautiful to see the young kids serving. So beautiful to see them out there cutting grass and pulling weeds. And man, I got a yard they can work on. We'll keep this thing going, right? Let's all sign up and have them cut our grass, right? But to see them doing it willingly and having fun, I think it's a testimony for us of life. Doing things we really don't want to do, but having fun doing it, right? Do they really want to do it? And you say, no, they won't do my yard. And we live here. No, they have a heart to serve the Lord. They have a heart to serve God. They choose that. And our prayer for the youth and for our church is that we would all catch that vision of service. All catch that service. To willingly do what God tells us to do. This pastor is really convicted as of late that people will serve the Lord when it's convenient. not when they're convicted. When it's convenient, when it fits in our schedules. It's, and there's so much we got going on. I get it. I understand you've got things you got to take your kids to, events you got going on through the week. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, listen, we need to be careful that we give God room to work so that we can serve him, so that we can do something for God. And it doesn't have to be for your church. I mean, if there's someone in your neighborhood that you could serve, go serve them. As Leslie said, it's such a blessing to the person who serves, not only the person that we serve for. There's nothing greater than doing that. Look at verse 8 again. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Do not harden your heart. Christian, right? We're Christians. Don't harden your hearts. Well, of course, Christians are the most loving, caring people on the planet, aren't they? See, you've met a few. Can Christians harden their heart? Sure they can. And unfortunately, they do. Our hearts get hard. Our hearts get hard. Why? Certain things happen in our lives and we start to get a little bit hesitant. We start, I normally would help that person, but no, I've been hurt before. I've been disappointed before. And we all do. But this is the truth here, guys. When we don't do something good for someone, we're not doing it for the Lord. We're not doing it for the Lord. He says, if you give even one of the smallest ones a drink of water, you do it for me. And that's our focus needs to be, God, I am doing this. I don't care what their response is. I don't care what the outcome is. I'm doing this for you, Jesus. I'm doing this for you, Jesus. And Joan, as much as we love you and we're so thankful for having you, we did what we did for you, for Jesus. And we know when we see the fruit of that. And we're very thankful that God allowed us to do that. But we've got to do it for Christ. Not because we've been hurt. Not because of the... It's going to happen. We're going to get disappointed. Jesus said, they hated me. They're going to hate you. So we should expect it. But our hearts need to stay soft. Our hearts need to stay in the right place. But notice in verse 13, if you jump down there, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, what happens is hardening through the deceitfulness of sin. And then he goes on, and he says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Where does it say they stray? Ten? Thank you. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Why was God angry? It's because they strayed away. People stray away because of the deceitfulness of sin. People stray away from doing good things because of sin in their lives. And bad things happen because this world is under the authority of the enemy, of Satan himself. The deceitfulness of sin allows a tragedy to happen in Colorado, doesn't it? Deceitfulness of sin. That someone thinks that they can go into a movie theater and do what they want and kill people. It's the deceitfulness of sin. Hardening of the heart. Something happened to that man in that man's life that caused him to think in his mind, it's okay if I do this. It was okay for him. And as awful as it is for us, we look at that and we go, how could something like that happen? That is tragedy. That is tragic. We have to be careful because it doesn't take very long before that's passed and we move on. It doesn't take that long when we read our magazines and see all the details where we go, that's awful. And we may take a moment and pray for those that are hurt. We may take a moment and go, this is awful, God. We don't want this to happen. But know what happens? The page gets turned. The page gets turned and now we're reading something else and we've moved on. And my concern is this deceitfulness of sin is what gets us, guys. When we get off the path, when we get off the truth, that's when our hearts begin to get hard. We still think we're Christians, but we're acting very worldly. We're acting very, and we're not going to go around killing people, but we're going to go around and start hurting people. And Jesus says, if you're angry towards anyone, you've committed murder in your heart. And so we've got to be careful that the hardening of our hearts does not anger God. any little bit of bitterness, any little bit of hardness in our hearts, God goes, that is not pleasing to me. And do you know what the word harden means? Because we look at that and go, oh, that means you're really an angry and mean person. No, it means cause to be stubborn. Uh-oh. Stubborn is not so hard, but it's the same thing. When we have that stubbornness, and that stubbornness means I'm going to do what I want. And nobody better tell me. I'm Christian. Nobody better tell me what to do. And our hearts get in that place where, no, I'm going to continue to do with this, but I'm expecting a different result. I'm going to continue to act this way. I'm going to continue to do these things, even though people are telling me I shouldn't be, even though people are ministering to me and encouraging me, stop that behavior. No, I'm going to continue to do that. I'm going to continue to be stubborn because I deserve it, because I've been hurt. And so I'm going to protect myself. Be careful. It's not pleasing to God. God is not happy with that condition. Keep your place in Hebrews. Flip over to our first stop, Acts chapter 19. We'll pick up in verse 1, Acts 19 and 1. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper region, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. God bless you. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit had come upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. And I wanted to read this because it's so important. And we talked about this Wednesday night, the importance of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the importance of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we're going to make sure that our hearts aren't hardened, it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Not your power, not your strength. No, you're going to fail. You need the Holy Spirit in your heart. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. Verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But look it. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitudes, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so they all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of God, the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Again, back in verse 9, it says, but when some were hardened and didn't believe, they spoke evil of the way to the multitudes. How does your heart get hardened or stubborned? By unbelief. By unbelief. By lack of faith. And you might have faith. You might believe Jesus died on the cross. But as some people always say, well, he died on the cross for a lot of people, but he's never going to forgive me. He's never going to forgive me. No, he will forgive you if you truly have the right heart. If you don't have the heart that's hardened. How do we get hardened? How do we get stubborn? By disappointment and hurt, as I said, by selfishness, wanting what we want. But also, don't miss it. The second part of verse 9 says, by speaking poorly of others. By speaking poorly of others, speaking evil of the way. This is what we're talking about. This is about one of the most damaging things in the body of Christ, when one Christian will talk about another Christian in a negative light. There's no place for that. If you have a complaint, and you've heard me say this, it's like my soapbox, but if you have a complaint about a Christian, go tell them. Don't go tell somebody else. Don't start letting other people know and speaking evil towards them. Can you believe they acted like that? They're supposed to be Christian. Well, the person you're talking to should turn to you, well, you're supposed to be a Christian too, and stop acting the way you're acting. Don't speak evil of one another. I don't care how hard we try. When you hear a negative comment, you're going to begin to believe it. As hard as you're going to try, and I'm not going to believe it. I'm believing it. Why am I believing it? We're just that way. And that's why the Bible's very good. Hold every thought captive to the authority of Jesus Christ. Don't form opinions about people because of what someone else says. Don't speak evil. This kind of behavior needs to be stopped the moment it happens. If someone in this church or in your circle of friends begins to speak negatively about someone else in your life, I can't command you. I'm imploring you to stop them. Stop them. I can't tell you the number of times people have come to me and say, well, so-and-so did this, and so-and-so is doing that, and so-and-so, and I'm like, why are you telling me? Well, I was hoping you could help me fix the problem. Okay, I'll help you fix the problem. Go talk to them. They're like, what? Bible's very clear. If someone sins against you, you go to that person and you confront them. And if they say they're sorry, then you've won your brother back. Wonderful. And then there's another step that you bring a friend who's also witnessed that same behavior. If that doesn't work, then the church gets involved. I love that, by the way. Sorry, got 3 strikes before I kick in. But isn't that right? We want to do it, right? We're going to tell somebody else so someone else can fix it for us. That's what we want. Where the thing that's going to be mature, the things that are going to be right, is if we nip it in the bud right away. Stop it. If someone hurts you, don't be ashamed to stop and say, that just, what you just did hurt me. That's the mature thing to do. That's not to walk away and, oh, let me mull it over, let me get complaint, let me tell it to my family, No. Deal with it. And I don't want this to seem convicting or too heavy on you, but this is how we need to behave. And if more people would behave this way, we'd have less problems in our lives because we deal with things quickly. Because most times, I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 times, when someone's hurt you, it's a misunderstanding. It was never meant to be like that. And when we see that restoration, it's a beautiful thing. We see in verse 10, as we go back to Hebrews, therefore, God was angry. And why was God angry? Because they strayed in their hearts. They were never fully trusting in God. And the hardest time of trusting in God is when you're in a bad place. When you feel like you're in the wilderness, when you feel like you're in that place of discouragement and depression, you're in this place and you're going to stray. You're going to try and find another way. When God is the only way, God is the only answer. That's what brings him frustration. And don't miss the second part of verse 10, and that they have not known my ways. When you truly know God, the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, when you truly embrace that and know that, when something happens in your life, you go, God, you know what's happening in my life, and I'm trusting you because I know you. You don't want to hurt me. You don't want to harm me. You have good plans for me. So whatever you're allowing in my life is for a good reason. That's the truth, my friends. That is the truth of this. That's a funny sound. Man, I want to get to the next point. But jump down to verse 16. Here's a very strong warning for us. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not those who sinned? Whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Again, bring in the past. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter the rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter because of disbelief. In verse 12, it starts out, beware, brethren. Beware, brethren. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. And he gives the example of their forefathers, the things that they did. So we need to be careful, guys. The word beware means warning, warning, warning. Circle it, highlight it, put little stars around it. Warning, brethren. We can take this and apply this to our own lives. Beware lest we fall as believers, as he's saying. Beware, brethren. Speaking to believers. It's real easy to say this is how the world acts. This isn't how the church should act. So we need to take this warning seriously because what happened? They departed from the living God. They departed from the living God. God's desire is to bring life to your situation, to bring life into your heart. Evil hearts and unbelieving hearts aim to destroy and to kill. And if we will stay close and not depart from the living God, but stay close to the living God, and his love will pour over us, right? He will change us. The second thing, though, and this is what I want to talk about for the next few minutes, is our second point. Not only is the hardened heart anger God, But the encouraging heart strengthens others. The encouraging heart strengthens others. And thank God the writer put this in there. Otherwise, this would be a big bummer, wouldn't it? I mean, we're all bummed. No, look at verse 13 again. But exhort one another every once in a while. When you get a chance. When you get around to it. No. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, or partners with Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. The encouraging heart strengthens other. The word exhort means encourage or to comfort. Anybody in here need to be comforted? Anybody in here need a word of encouragement to just continue to be spurred on in your walk with God? I don't know about you, but if someone is speaking into my life consistently encouraging words, man, I am good, you know? But if somebody is speaking death into me, if somebody's tearing me down and build, you know, just tearing me, then I get discouraged. But if I'm encouraged, and certainly Christ encourages us daily, it will take the time to be encouraged by God. But this is a charge for us as brothers and sisters to encourage each other. And we might sit there and look and go, well, I'm trying to find something to encourage this person with. There really isn't much. Well, encourage them that they're a brother or sister in Christ. Find something. Because I'm telling you, people's lives will change, people's hearts will change when they start hearing life in them, when they start hearing positive things in their life. Too many marriages are beating each other and tearing each other down. And it's no wonder they struggle. It's no struggle. I just sit with couples and they're like, well, he does that and she does this and it drives me crazy. And I'm like, yeah, and what? What? If you think my wife doesn't drive me crazy, there you go. But you know, I don't focus on those things anymore. I did. In the early years, I did. Why does she do that? It drives me crazy. But now I just ignore those things and I focus on the things that I love about her. And thank God, I've learned over the years that there are more positive qualities than negative. Why? Does it mean her negative qualities disappeared? Maybe a couple. They're still there. We're imperfect people. Okay, you misunderstood me when I said that. I mean, honestly, do we really all change that much? Or do we change our perspectives of what we see? That's the difference. And I find the more I encourage my wife or I encourage my friends, the more fun they are to be around. So elbow your spouse and say, listen to the pastor right now. To encourage. Well, we know the Beatitudes. Jesus said this, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comforted. So yes, in this world we have a lot of discouragement and a lot of bummer things happen to us. But blessed are those who mourn because we'll be comforted. And this is what we see in this church when someone goes through tragedy. We're able to comfort them through prayer. We're able to comfort them by just sharing with them that we're with them. And we get through tough things, right? We get through tough things together. Let's go our last verse here. 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. We'll pick up in verse 3. Still with me? Nobody falling asleep? If they are, elbow them. Wake up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Praise God. Who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Do you see the responsibility that we have there? We have the responsibility to let God comfort us in our difficulties. We have to let him do that. God, comfort me in this. God, show me in this. Teach me in this. And then when we're comforted and when we're strengthened and when we're brought through, now we're able to look to our brother who's also struggling and go, don't worry, God's going to take care of it. We're able to comfort them with the comfort that we've received. Because honestly, I don't have the words to comfort you. God has to give them to me. I don't know your situation, but God knows your situation. So he gives me the words to comfort you, and I get able to partake and pass those things on to you so that you too are comforted, encouraging you and strengthening you in your time of need. And let me say this. Sometimes there are no words to comfort someone, but there is to just be there, to just be with them, to be honest and say, I don't know what to tell you. I know what you're going through is very difficult. And I can't imagine how you would minister to someone who's lost their loved ones in a movie theater. What do you say? But you just say, I'm here with you. I want to walk through this with you. And just being there will bring comfort to someone. But what are some other things that we need to comfort each other with? Well, if you're taking notes, I've got a few. Number one, the first and foremost, is to love. Comfort each other with love. I mean, if that isn't the earmark of what a Christian is, then we're really missing the mark. If that's the last thing we do, it should be the first thing that we do, to love each other. 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Loving, being there for each other. Number two, encouraging each other in good works, encouraging others to keep going, encouraging each other to pursue the things that God would have us to do. For Titus, Paul says to Titus, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. It means keep doing good works even through difficult times. Whatever those things are, encouraging each other with fellowship. Hebrews 10:25, if you're taking notes, I know we're running out of time. Number four, avoiding willful sin. I mean, I think sometimes as Christians we avoid those. But if you see someone willfully sinning, if you see someone doing something that's damaging to them, encourage them to stop. Encourage them to stop in a very loving way, not in a discouraging way. Because we see the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. Galatians 5, 19 through 21, the works of the flesh. If we see these things, we need to warn one another. And then finally, the hope of Christ's return. Wow. And this one, we kind of stick at the end, but isn't it so important that we encourage each other that Christ is coming back to take us home? That's encouraging to me. That helps me get through another day. He's coming back. He could come back today. Greg Laurie says this of hope. Hope is holding on in patient expectation. Holding on in patient expectation. Hope. That's what hope is, guys. And the Bible in Hebrews tells us that we need to do this today while there's still time. Don't delay this. Don't delay this encouraging one another daily. Daily. You want to be encouraged? Encourage someone. Don't delay in comforting others. Do not miss an opportunity to encourage someone. Specifically, a loved one. I'm going to turn here. I want to read this to you in closing. In Acts 20, verses 17 through 24, it says this. Acts 20, verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with a humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. So bad things happened to Paul, but he still served. How I kept back nothing that was helpful by preaching it to you and taught you principally from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had a tough life. Paul was under a lot of persecution. But his focus was on encouraging the brethren, showing them through the Scripture, showing them about Jesus Christ. When our focus comes on to Jesus Christ, I don't think there's anything that can stop us. So let God do that heart surgery on you today. If there's areas of your heart that are a little hard, say, God, help me in those areas. Help me in those areas. I don't know what those are. God knows what those are. You may know what those are. But also have that encouraging heart to bless others, especially your loved ones, so that we will be those Christians that God wants us to be. Don't give up. Persevere to the end. That's the hope that we have.